You're listening to Catholic Forum. I'm Bob Krebs, and today I'm on location at Oriole Park at Camden Yards in Baltimore, Maryland, where my special guest is Orioles broadcaster Jim Hunter. Jim, thanks so much for being with us today.
Bob, it's a pleasure. Thanks for asking.
We're going to be talking about your faith and your Catholic school education and how that has influenced your career and your life. But before we get to that, just tell us a little bit about your early life and your early career.
Well, my early career, and I hate to admit this, but started in 1978 when I was 19 years old back in Asbury Park, New Jersey. I was fortunate that back in that time, I was in junior college at the time, first semester of my sophomore year, and the local radio station, which at the time was a big radio station in Asbury Park, New Jersey, they were looking for somebody to do sports on the morning show. And there was another college student who was able to get a job there as a part-time newsman, and he heard about this and he said, hey, why don't you go down and audition? And I was able to get the job. So those early years were very, very important. In this business, as you know, being a broadcaster, is you need to figure out your style and you need to be able to go somewhere where you make mistakes because then you grow from them.
Sure.
And getting my first job when I was 19 years old, it catapulted me, if you will, into the real world. It's great to be on college radio. It's great to, you know, maybe do some part-time things at the local cable outlet, but when you're being paid and you must perform, you all of a sudden the level rises and you have to rise with it. So it was very important early on, and from there I got to catapult again, which was kind of a weird step. I missed the middle part. I went from local radio to national radio. And I went to CBS Radio in New York City when I was 23 years old, stayed there for 15 years, did a variety of things, studio work. I covered Olympics, I covered Super Bowls, baseball play-by-play, football studio host. And the baseball play-by-play indirectly led to me coming to Baltimore. They had an opening after the 96 season. I had a friend in the PR department that knew of my work there. They said, hey, you know, we're gonna audition a bunch of people. Do you wanna apply? And I had always wanted to be with a baseball team, and this location and franchise made sense, being the proximity to New Jersey where I'm from, and the ability to come down here and do play-by-play. So from 1978, the dream of being a big league announcer, it took until 1997 to get with the team, but the steps in the middle, I think, were critical.
Mm-hmm. Did you always want to be a sportscaster? Or?
Well, I did. My father worked in television in New York City, and his main job was working on Yankee telecast, so I was always around it. I mean, when I went to work with my father, I went to Yankee Stadium and sat in the booth or sat in the stands right behind the booth. So I've always been around it, and I'm sure like most kids, you get exposed to what your parents do for a living, and that's an early influence simply because at the dinner table, that's what you're hearing. When your father is telling your mother about the day at work, that's what you hear. I wasn't good enough to play beyond high school. So when I got to junior college and went out for the college team, I was a second baseman, and I made second team All-Catholic in 1977, and the kid I was up against was first team All-State overall. So I became the announcer, he became the second baseman, and the moral of that story, ironically, is I made it to the big leagues and he didn't, so all those years later.
What do you like best about your work?
I like that it's a people business.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And when you're part of a major league team, you're part of the group, and you see these guys. And it's not that I do a lot with them away from the field. I might have years ago, but there are kids on this team that are younger than my children. Mm-hmm. So the dynamic has changed in that regard. But there's something to be said about being part of a family that you live with them, you die with them. The game Saturday night against Houston was a perfect example of that. You're two outs away from a win, and all of a sudden you don't have the lead, and then there's a rain delay, and then you have two outs and nobody on, and you suddenly rally to tie the game, and at home you always have a chance that the game's tied, and then you win it, and you feel so good for the guy that won the game because he grew up 10 blocks from the ballpark. So mm-hmm. Those little individual stories and the people business aspect of it is really what is most fascinating. And then the thing about baseball is each day you never know what you're going to see. There's a saying that somebody told me once, that because in baseball is the only game where the defense has the ball, And somebody said once, the thing that's unique about baseball is there's only one person that knows what's going to happen when the ball leaves the pitcher's hand, and God doesn't tell you before that. And that's really true. So yeah. You just never know what you're going to see. And that aspect of it to me is really fascinating.
Now, you grew up as in a Catholic household. You went to Catholic school. How has that contributed to your success?
I think in looking back on it, I can't say that in those formidable years that I understood.
Sure, right.
But I think what it does is it gives you a base.
Yeah.
And I think it gives you the foundation of what really matters. I think in any field, in any profession, there are going to be the self-important people. There are going to be the phonies, if you will. And, you know, you hope that you're surrounded by fewer of those types than more. And I think if you rely on your faith and you understand that that really is what matters and that's what's important, then a lot of all this other stuff falls into place. I think if you think that this is what matters over your faith, then you have the wrong message to yourself.
Right.
So I think going back to, you know, Sister Mary Allen in first grade at St. Philip's in Clifton, New Jersey, who was very important in my early schooling. You know, it was the only time in my life I got straight A's. Maybe I was afraid of her, I don't know. But, you know, and then going to Catholic high school, and except for the 2 years at junior college, going to Catholic college. I mean, there's a discipline there that that you must adhere to, because there are rules, and it really does help you with your base. And, you know, it was kind of cool at Seton Hall, you know, being able to go to noon mass right on campus if your class is allowed, you know. I mean, so I think the upbringing and the fear of, you know, I overslept and missed mass today, Dad's going to be mad at me. You know, that you don't realize that's building something as you
sure.
go along.
Yep.
And then when you get older and you understand and you put in perspective what really matters, it all comes to the fruition of that. So I would say it was very important, simply because now at age 55, my perspectives are in the proper order.
Right. Is it difficult to practice your faith when you're in a job like this, where you have to be traveling and you're on the road?
Well, it is sometimes, but actually, in most stadiums now, there is a priest that is there for you. And it's kind of funny that you bring that up, because I fully intended on my way in to work today to go to 9 o'clock mass in my parish and then come to work. And we had a very late night last night, and when my alarm went off, I just couldn't do it. But I knew that the Orioles team chaplain, Father Bauer, had mass at 10:15 downstairs, mm-hmm. as he does every Sunday. So I knew if I got that extra hour sleep, I still wouldn't miss mass,
yeah.
because Father Bauer would be there. And there were three of us, but he said a full mass, and I was able to attend and not miss, which I didn't want to do. This is the first Mother's Day without my mom, and I didn't want to miss mass today
sure.
because of her.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are ways. I mean, the last weekend we were in Minnesota, and the hotel gave us a church that we could go to if the game ended on time,
mm-hmm.
and my television producer and our pitching coach and I all went to the 5 o'clock mass at the Basilica.
Mm-hmm.
So what you do is you seek it out, you hope it works. I don't know about next weekend in Kansas City, because we have a night game Saturday and a day game Sunday. Hopefully they'll have a priest at the ballpark, but you know, you do what you can. And the main thing is, are you disciplined enough to get your prep work done,
right.
get enough sleep, and then make time for mass when you know the duty's going to call and you have to be there by a certain time? So, I mean, it can be difficult, but if you at least do the legwork, you usually can figure it out.
If that's a priority, then you'll
right,
make it
exactly,
happen.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
What have been some of the major influences in your life?
You know, I think because of the field I chose, my father, obviously, because he was in the business.
Right.
And, you know, he worked alongside Mel Allen and Red Barber and guys like that. And he knew what the elite broadcasters were all about and what I needed to do to get to a level where you were where the fans appreciate you as the conduit. And that's kind of interesting. I hope Oriole fans, when they hear me on a game, like me, but I know they're not tuning in to listen to me. They're tuning in because they want to hear how the Orioles are doing.
Right,
and
right.
that's another perspective you got to
sure,
keep. And
yeah.
I think that influence, and you know, without a doubt, my mom. I mean, you know, she was always there.
Yeah.
So, you know, the parents are important because they set the tone, and they're always there for you regardless whether you stumble or not. So I think, you know, those are really the two biggest influences. Professionally, there are a lot of people that you capture from, but it's nothing like your parents.
You host O's Extra, which is a television show. You do radio play-by-play, you do television play-by-play. What do you prefer?
Any play-by-play.
Anything.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. My role has shifted here several times during my 18 years. And, you know, the television play-by-play I really enjoy because of how much goes into putting that on the air. There, you know, 50 some odd people working on every telecast. And on the TV side, the analyst sitting next to me is the star, and I'm kind of the nuts and bolts guy.
Right.
And Dawn, the producer, actually controls the telecast. Mm-hmm. So she's talking in your ear constantly the whole game, you know, do this, we're going here, do that. Because she's in charge of making sure all the reads get in, all the sponsorships get in, and you have to adhere to her because that's her job, you know. So I like the challenge of that, of weaving things in visually. But at the same time, I'm on a run of radio games here, and the radio broadcast is totally different because unlike television, where there are all those people involved, on radio, it's just you. Mm-hmm. So you have to carry the load.
Right.
And they're totally different. Like, next Thursday in Kansas City, I'll be back on TV for 4 days, so I'm going to have to back off a little bit.
Yeah.
You know,
is it hard to make that switch?
It's not hard, but you consciously have to remind yourself of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because on the TV side, you can see what I see.
Right.
On the radio side, you can't.
Right.
So you have to describe it in a different way. And again, on the other side, I'll be with Jim Palmer next week, and he's been off for a couple of weeks, so he's going to have all kinds of stories stored up. So I'll basically be saying, here's the pitch, and just let him talk.
What does the future hold for Jim Hunter? Are you going to be happy to be with the Orioles for the rest of your career?
Yeah, I can't see myself after investing 18 years already here, at the age of 55, you know, planting roots here, being involved in my parish, and being involved in the community whenever asked. I don't need to chase the dream anymore. You know, I'm at that stage now. All the kids are out of college, no more tuition to pay. I'm at the stage now where it's just, you know what, enjoy it, mm-hmm. Hope that the run continues,
mm-hmm.
and stay at it for as long as you can. You know, the funny thing about baseball announcers is we rarely willingly leave. You're told when it's over.
Sure.
So, you know, you ride it out. I mean, this is a great organization. They've been very good to me over the years, and there's a loyalty thing that I feel to them, mm-hmm. that I wouldn't want to alter.
Well, Jim Hunter, it's been a pleasure spending some time with you today here at this beautiful ballpark, and thanks so much for your time.
Hey, Bob, anytime. I appreciate it.